Morning, I want to open up by asking you a question. Are you a disciple of Jesus? You know, as I was growing up, I didn't think disciples existed. The only disciples were the apostles of Jesus. I thought they were the disciples, and when they died, that was the end of the disciples. There's no more discipleship. And as I grew older, and I started going to religion instructions, back in Malta, that wasn't called religion instructions in those days, it was called something else. Then I was being taught that disciples perhaps are the priests, or those maybe in today's world, pastors, which we didn't know about pastors in those days either. You had to be a priest, and the only way you to preach to people or to be a disciple, you had to be a priest. You weren't allowed to preach. You're allowed to learn and listen, but you weren't allowed to preach. And in fact, I knew a person who started preaching one day, and the priest was there, and he says, "Who gives you the right to preach?" He said, "We're the only one authorized to preach." And I was shocked to hear that. I didn't think, and that's as far as discipleship goes. I didn't know nothing about discipleship. But today we're going to open up in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, to see what the Bible has to say about discipleship. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of age." Now, this statement was made by Jesus, of course, himself, to his apostles. Thank you. Shortly before he ascended to heaven, he said this almost the last moment before Jesus ascended to heaven. And this is commonly called the Great Commission. I'm sure most of you know that, the Great Commission. But notice the main thought of Jesus' command here. First thing he says is go. Now, the only way to go is to do something. We cannot be standing still doing nothing and go. To go, you got to do something. And Jesus said to them, go. Now, if we want to go and play sports, we need to go. We need to train. We need to play on a Saturday. We can't just do nothing and play. Pastor John mentioned that the other day, actually, about sports. If we want to play, we need to go. We need to go and do something about playing. So Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, all nations means your neighbor. It means other countries. It means everywhere. It means the whole world. Our neighbor is all nations as well. And we need to do that. Some of us can't go overseas and preach. Pastor Chris went to the missions, as we know, and others went to the missions in the Philippines early this year. And they went to preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. But to make disciples of all nations doesn't mean you go overseas. You can also be here and make disciples of all nations. Today, more than ever, we have a great opportunity, the phone. You know, I spoke to my sister last night. I gave her nearly 1.5 hour sermon on the phone. but she was enjoying it, otherwise I wouldn't have done that. When we started talking, she talked about a subject that was very disturbing. But then I was able to help her with scripture, what the scripture said about what she was saying. And we couldn't hang up. I realized because I just put $10 on the card, which gave me nearly 2 hours. And by the end of it, I tried to ring my other sister, and there was only about 10 minutes left, so I had to recharge it again. the internet. Today we can speak to family members on the internet and be witnesses. We can be disciples. We don't have to go anywhere to be disciples. It's great if we can go. I'm not talking against missionaries. It's great to be a missionary and go overseas. So I would love to do that one day myself. But just because we cannot go overseas doesn't mean we can't be disciples. We can't preach to other nations. We can preach to other nations. I know people at work, they speak to family members back home on the internet. It costs them nothing, 30 cents call. I don't know how to do that. I wish I do. Saves me $10 or more, actually, because having a big family back in Malta, the 7 brothers and 4 sisters, cost me a fair bit to ring them all up, especially now that Christmas is coming up. So go and make disciples of all nations. So to make disciples is the goal here. It's the goal. To make disciples is the goal of evangelizing the world for Christ, the whole world. That's Christ's desire, that the whole world will come to him, that we'll all be in his kingdom. And the only way that's going to happen is if the disciples preaching and speaking God's word. So are you a disciple? Now, more than likely, I think all of you would believe in Jesus. All of you believe in the Savior. And looking around, I'm sure you all do. Unless there's someone that's still inquiring about Christianity, maybe not sure, they're just trying to find out more about Christ, about Christianity. But otherwise, I believe that you're all Christians, you all believe in Jesus. And also, more than likely, that most of you, again, or all of you, attend church services every Sunday, and some of you even twice on a Sunday. So looking around, I'd say that, yeah, all of you come to church on a Sunday. But is that what it means to be a disciple? Is that good enough, just going to church on a Sunday or believing in Jesus? Is that enough to be a disciple? So what does it mean to be a disciple? Now, the purpose I'm doing this study here today is to be clear on what it means for one to be a disciple. A true disciple of Jesus Christ, what does it mean? So what are the marks of a disciple? What are the signs of a disciple? Let's open to John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." So a disciple is one who abides in Jesus' words, to start with. Someone who obeys Jesus' words. And this would imply, of course, being a diligent student of the teaching of Christ. We need to be learning. We need to be learning the truth. As I said, when I spoke to my sister yesterday, she told me some very disturbing stuff that she's been taught. And supposedly talking about Christianity. But some terrible stuff she was saying. I was asking her where she'd been learning this stuff. You know, I was very strong with her. She was listening to me. I was very strong with her. That what she was telling me, very disturbing. And I needed to learn to be able to teach her, to help her. If we don't learn, if we don't study, how are we going to help others? How are we going to be disciples? And this is one area which is very important, that we need to learn and learn the truth. The Jews here who had believed in him, now Jesus here is talking to the Jews who had believed in him. He's not talking to non-Christians, he's talking to Christians here. He was telling them that they needed to progress beyond their faith. They had faith. They believed in Jesus. But they needed to progress beyond that. Just having faith is not enough to be a disciple. Otherwise, all Christians will be disciples. Well, that will be great. So faith is not enough to be a disciple. It also requires one to be a doer. And we're going to look at James now. James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. It's James chapter 1 and verses 21 to 25. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So, did you note here that there is three stages here that the Bible is talking about? First stage talks about they should be hearers of the word. Now we need to be hearers. We need to be listening to God's word. And how we listen to God's word? By listening to a teacher, someone who is teaching us. We need to be hearers of the word. That's the first stage. Second stage is that we should receive it. We can hear all the words we want to, but unless we receive them, it's just a waste of time. We can just be listening to sermons on the radio, at the church, at home groups, but unless we receive them and accept them, it'll be a waste of time. And we also should be doers of the word. That's what James is talking about here. We should be doers of the word, which means we need to be obedient to the word. Because unless we're obedient to the word, again, we can hear all the sermons we like, but we need to be obedient. Because we could, as I said, we could hear hundreds and hundreds of sermons, but unless we act upon what we're hearing, it becomes a waste of time. And we need to live it. If we don't live the word, again, it becomes a waste of time. And I believe the only way to live the word of God, the only way to remember the word of God, some people, as soon as they leave the services, I forgot what the sermon was about. But if we live what we've heard, we will never forget it. May not remember it word for word. But if we live what we've heard in a sermon, then we will never forget that sermon, I'll guarantee you. And I've learned that in the last 20 years. You want to remember a sermon? Just live it. Okay. So, in view of this, what we just said, a true disciple would not fail to study the Bible diligently. We'd need to be studying, we'd need to be learning, would not willingly refrain from opportunities to study with others. Don't miss out. You know, we're so blessed in this church, honestly, we're so blessed that we have so much teaching tonight, as Pastor Chris was sharing before. What are you doing tonight? If you're not doing anything special, if you're just going to watch TV, you'll be better off being here and take part of one of these wonderful courses, four or five different courses. We're so blessed. We have so much studies in this church that we can do. Also, when someone becomes a Christian in this church, so brand new Christian, we have this booklet, The Road Ahead. We have one young lady, she's doing it at the moment. You know, if you've been in this church for a long time, but you haven't done any studies at all, start by doing this, The Road Ahead. Some wonderful, wonderful teaching, even though it's very simple, very easy to follow, being sure you are saved. You know, so many people, so many Christians now still don't believe. They're not sure if they're saved. I speak to people and say, if you drop that right now, where would you go? They say, that's up to God. It's not up to me. It's up to God where it takes me. But you can be sure. And it's simple studies. Who am I? Made new on the inside. The Bible, prayer, fellowship, sharing your faith, water baptism. you know, the Holy Spirit, communion. If you haven't done any studies, even if you've been 10 years as a Christian, but you haven't done any studies yet, you know, start. Start with this course. We'd be more than happy to do it with you. I can do it with you, or we can send someone else to do it with you. But start. And I tell you, when you start studying, you don't want to stop. It becomes part of you, something you want to do. Not because you have to, not because I'm telling you or someone else is telling you to do it, but you will want to do it. You will want to study more and more. And as you study and as you're learning, you start witnessing. Because we can't witness unless we study. I made that mistake of trying to witness before I knew anything on the Bible, when I first became a Christian. And I was telling someone, I told someone something, and because I wanted to share. Because that's, you become a Christian, you want to share. That's, your heart is on fire, and you want to tell people. And I said something to this person, and he said, "Show me where it is on the Bible." That's the person said, "Show me where it is on the Bible." So I had no idea. So I rang up, and he was still Brian Blecker at those days as a pastor. I rang him up. He said, "Oh, I've never heard of that." I said to this bloke, "Look, I'm sorry." I said, it's someone that shared with me, someone that told me, so I believed it. I believed that's what it was, because this bloke told me so. So, but we need to learn, we need to study. If we want to witness, we need to study. We can't tell someone something and it's not true, it's not on the Bible. We'll be doing more damage than good if we do that. We need to study. And again, once we've done this 10-week course, there's the Alpha course, another 10-week course. I mean, these only take 1 hour a week, this course. 1 hour a week, it's not much. The Alpha course, only 2 hours a week on a Monday. It's wonderful. We share a meal together. We watch a video, DVD presentation. We have a discussion. It's beautiful. You know, people that do the Alpha course, they all talk very highly of it. So this means there's ways we can learn. There's so many different ways that we can learn. If we don't learn, it's not because of the church fault. The church put all these courses, but unless we do them. Okay, so that's very important, that we need to learn. We want to become disciples, we need to learn. A disciple is also one who loves others. Now, this is very important again. One who loves others. Let's have a look at John chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must, you know, must. You must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. How people going to know that we are his disciples? By loving one another. And it's a command. It's a must. It's not an optional extra where, oh, well, that person gives me a hard time. I don't want to love him. Just, you know, it's a must. And then people will see that we are his disciples. That's how they're going to see that we are his disciple, by loving people. You know, I was shocked a few months ago on the Herald Sun. They done a survey, I think it was in England, thousands of young people. And they asked them, what would be out of 10, what would be the top thing that would make you happy, would make your life complete, would make your life, you know, comfortable? Actually, the question was, what would make you happy in this life? What would make you happy? The first one was that to be healthy. They said, we want to be healthy. That would make us happy. What do you think the second one was? I was shocked, the second one. To be loved. To hear someone say to them, I love you. These are thousands of young people. The second one was to hear someone say, I love you. To be loved. They wanted to be loved. I mean, I don't know about you, but it comes to me as a shock, because what I would have thought would be money, possessions. That's what young people would have said. Because these are not Christian. This is, you know, they asked anyone. Not just Christian. Maybe if they asked Christians, they would say that. But to ask so many thousands of young people and to say that that was their second priority, to hear someone say, I love you. not, you know, not possessions. Possessions came down later on, and money came down later on. But to hear someone say, I love you, was before all that. And that, to me, that shocked me. I don't know about you. You see, Jesus says, as I have loved you. This is how he expects us to love him, to love others. As I have loved you. Strong words. Love, and he said that because love would overcome all difficulties and would show men and women, of course, who were the true disciples of Jesus. As I have loved you. We all know how Jesus loved us. And that's the way Jesus expects us to love others. And again, he doesn't say, if you want to. He says, you must. Very strong words. Jesus could have never set a higher pattern before his people than this. He could never set a higher standard. If we love like Jesus does, if we love like Jesus loved us, we can overcome. We can overcome anything. There wouldn't be these troubles, these problems, these families breaking up. You know, every day we hear of families breaking up. I don't know about you, but I hear it all the time. Whether it's at work, whether it's back in Malta, back, you know, from where there's neighbors, we're hearing. But if people love the way Jesus loved them, as I have loved you, Jesus says, then we can overcome. We can overcome anything. With a love that is visible to the world. By this, Jesus says, by this all will know. They will know what? They will know that we are his disciples. That's what Jesus is saying. And we're not talking just within the Christian community. I'm talking about at work. I'm talking about our neighbors. I'm talking about our families. By this all will know. So a true disciple would make every effort, first of all, to get to know others. That's very important. We need to get to know others as well. So many Christians keep to themselves. You know, it's sad, really. They don't want to tell anyone. They just want to stay at home and don't go to church. And I'm sure you've all heard of people like that. So we need to get to know others. And we also take advantage of occasions to encourage and grow closer to other people. We need to grow closer and help one another as Christians. How can we get close to one another? There's many ways to get closer to one another. You know, on Friday, it really encouraged me. You know, I just saw, I think it was Chris Thomas with the vacuum cleaner. I thought I'll grab one and give him a hand. And the amount of people that started clearing the table and doing things, working together, it was beautiful, caring for one another. To me, that shows love for one another. Others doing the tea and coffee. Everyone just about was doing something. And, you know, Joe came, took the vacuum cleaner off me and started doing it. And Pastor Chris asked me if I work in day shifts, waking up early, so he was going to take the vacuum cleaner off me. And to me, that's so encouraging, you know, to see one another, helping one another, loving one another. To me, that's love. I don't know about you. It's just loving one another. So we can help one another. We can mix with other people. We can do that. We can do that, you know, getting to know one another more and more. You know, we have great opportunities on a Sunday morning, where we can share a cup of coffee, cup of tea together, and a biscuit, whatever is there. We can, Sunday evening is even greater opportunity. Usually it's not too many people on Sunday evening. There's a lot of opportunities to get talking to other people and mixing with other people. But there's also opportunities at home groups. It's a great opportunity. You know, if you're not attending home group now, you're missing out. Missing out from sharing with others, growing with others, learning with others. We're going to learn. We need to attend these groups. Ladies groups, men's groups. There's so many. Young people, Tuesday. What do you do on Tuesday nights if you're not attending Tuesday Live? You know, there's no excuses. If you can get here, I spoke. Elder Gary said it many times. He'll take you home. He's not going to let you walk late in the dark. He'll take you home. Just get here on a Tuesday. You want to learn? Come on a Tuesday. You know, many young people. Start. You need to start somewhere. That's a great opportunity. You know, if I was still that age, I'd make sure I would never miss out on Tuesdays. Same way I don't miss out on home group unless I have to work. So there's great opportunities. If we're not learning, It's not because of lack of studies or because the church is not putting enough studies on. Come and learn. Discipleship is a lifetime of learning. Discipleship is not doing this 10-week course and now I've arrived, or doing the Alpha course and I arrived. Discipleship is a lifetime of learning. You never stop learning. Praise God, it's been 20 years, whether doing this course or doing that course, whether going to home group or whether coming to church. But that's how we should be. We should look forward to the next course, the next opportunity. You know, I'd love the Sunday nights. You know, it'll be great. Tonight I'm looking forward to it. And I hope all of you are looking forward tonight to learning something new. Even if you've heard it before, God will show you something different. It's amazing. You might say, I've done that course. But God will show you something different. It doesn't matter if you've done it. I've done a course. The last one I've done, it was about the church and, you know, how we integrate people into the church and things. I've been in this church 20 years. But I said, no, but I've still, Pastor John done a great job. I've still picked up a few things that I've never picked up before. That's amazing. Another thing, discipleship is one who wants to become like his teacher. Someone who wants to become like his teacher. That's discipleship. But we need to make time for these things. We need to allow time. We can't just all of a sudden say, oh yeah, I'll go and spend half an hour. We need to prepare time. We need to make time. Jesus was willing to sacrifice time and effort for others. And so will we, if we are truly his disciples. If you truly want to be his disciples, we will make that time. We will make time. You know, as Pastor Chris said many times, we all have 24 hours in the day. That's what we do with those 24 hours. You know, on a Sunday evening, you know, what's the best thing? Sitting down watching TV? Because if I'm not here, that's all I'll be doing, watching TV on a Sunday evening. And I'm sure probably 90% of us would do that if we sit at home. Watch 60 minutes or something. Yeah, I'd rather be here than being watching that stuff on TV. So we need to make time. And I'm sure many of you do that already. You know, many of you do, you know, the home group leaders, I'm sure they spend a lot of time praying and preparing studies and things. So I'm sure a lot of you do that already. But if we're not, we need to start doing that. We need to start somewhere. It might mean with the 10-week course. It might mean with the Alpha course. It might mean you come tonight and do one of those courses. The scripture tells us also that a disciple is one who bears much fruit. And we look at John chapter 15, verse 8. John chapter 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, notice also that in the word much is also in verse 5. So if you look a few verses up, it also talks about that word much. Jesus is not talking here about an occasional good deed. You know, he's talking about a lifestyle. It's, you know, he's not talking about we're doing something for someone, just a one-off thing, oh yeah, I've done my share and that was it. But it's a lifestyle. It's how we live. That's how we live, helping one another. That should be our lifestyle all the time. And as we do that, we're glorifying God. And people are glorifying God. If we're helping someone, if we've done a meal for someone, or whatever the situation might be, those people will glorify God. It's not so much us. We don't need any thank you or whatever. But they glorify God. Thank you, Lord, for providing me with that meal. Or thank you, Lord, for providing me for that person coming alongside me and helping me with my problem or whatever it might be. Fruit bearing, as I said, is not an end in itself. It glorifies the Father. That's the most important thing. As we bear fruit for the Lord, it glorifies God. That's what it does. People will glorify God and thank God for it. If we get it, thank you, that's fine. If we don't do it for people, this is how I see things all the time. When I do something, if I've done something for you, I don't do it in my heart. I don't do it for you. I do it for God. I do it as I feel God wants me to do it, and I give God the glory that I'm able to help you. So the point here, I think, should be clear. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ means more than just a casual church member. It requires commitment, especially in regards to the teaching of Christ. Very important, the teaching of Christ. The love of others, that we will love others. And bearing fruit to the glory of God. And again, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm not talking about, you know, if you don't this, you're not going to be saved. Salvation doesn't come by, you know, being a disciple. Salvation is when you confess that you're a sinner to the Lord, when you repent of your sins, when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He died for your sins, and when you ask Him to come into your heart by His Holy Spirit and to turn away from your sin. That's salvation. And you genuinely want to follow God and do it God's way. But this is a command also. This is a command where Jesus Himself says, go and make disciples of all nations. He commands us to do that. Now, there is many rewards in the Bible about, you know, one becoming a disciple. And I was going to talk about that. But I might leave that. And there's also a cost. There's also a cost to being a disciple. And if you're not sure what that cost is, then you need to get that DVD or DCD from Dr. Abel Thomas. He spoke about the challenge of discipleship. He spoke wonderfully. That was on the Sunday after the conference, on the Sunday evening. He spoke a wonderful sermon about the challenge of discipleship, about the cost of becoming a disciple. Everything comes at a cost. Get the CD. If you really want to become a disciple, you need to count the cost first. That's what the Bible tells us. Count the cost. Get that CD and listen to it. It was a beautiful sermon, wonderful sermon. Some of the rewards God gives us, we're just going to look at some of them. Some of the rewards at becoming a disciple. In John chapter 14, verse 24. John chapter 14, verse 27. This is what we receive, you know, when we become disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Jesus offers a peace that the world cannot give. What sort of peace the world gives us? Possessions maybe will give us peace for a short time. Money might give us peace for a short time. But the peace that God gives us is nothing compared to the world can give us. My peace I give to you. The peace that is mine, Jesus says. The peace that is mine, I give to you. It is a peace which has been put to the test, of course. It's not a worldly peace. And what a wonderful way to receive Jesus' peace. And we'll notice that peace in time of trouble. When trouble comes, even though there's trouble, that peace is still there. The joy of the Lord is still there. That's how we know. Money means nothing when there is trouble. If there's trouble in the family or sickness or whatever it might be, then money means nothing. Possessions mean nothing. But the peace of the Lord means a lot, I can tell you. Let's have a look also with John chapter 15, verse 11. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. His word inspires joy, doesn't it? His word inspires joy to lift our spirits out of any depression, anything that may come against us. It lifts up our spirit. And this teaching, I think, in verse 11, sums it all up. You know, in joy, my joy, your joy, the disciples' joy. That's what Jesus is talking about. Joy. He gives us that joy into our heart. I don't know about you. When you're witnessing to someone, like I witnessed to my sister last night, it gives you joy. It gives you peace. Knowing that that person might have got something out of it. Or that the seed has been planted. Even if they respond. Even knowing that the seed has been planted. And knowing my sister, I'm sure she got a lot out of it last night. after an hour and a half. But you see, because these people don't know. They think that's the way it is. That's the way they've been taught. So we need to keep pushing and pushing. And you know, as I said, I would love to speak to all, but I spoke to my brother when he was here last year. Last year, the year before. Yeah, we lived with me for 3 months. So I was able to speak to him. And then I found out after, when he used to come, some of you met him, he was coming to church here every Sunday. And the first week, I thought, oh, I wonder how he's going to be, you know. And everyone was speaking in tongues that Sunday, and I thought, oh, I don't know, is this good? And then when we went home, I said, oh, how do you feel, you know? What do you think about the service? And nearly going for cover. He said, oh, it was good. He said, I go to a church like yours. He said, not to my place. It's always packed. It's 12,000 miles away in Malta. So there's a church that is close to him. He said, I do go sometimes to a church like yours. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And there I am, terrified. I'm thinking, oh, what's he going to say, you know? So, yeah, don't be afraid to witness to people. Don't be scared. I wasn't scared to witness to my sister last night. I gave her the full menu. But you can do that if you know what you're talking about. But if you don't learn, if you don't study, and you don't know what you're talking about, you know what she'll do? She'll go to the priest and say, my brother said this, this, and that. And he'll say, oh, no. But if she tells him, show me on the Bible what he was talking about, he has no choice but to show her. He has no choice because it's here. What I've spoken is from the Bible. So when we speak, we need to speak from the Bible. But the only way we're going to speak from the Bible is if we're learning, if we're studying. Okay, we're going to probably leave it here. I hope that each one of you, you know, would have that desire in his heart to be a true disciple of Jesus. I just, you know, for all of us, that it will be always in our heart, that same burning desire that was in our hearts when we first became a Christians, you know, that fire that was in our hearts to tell everybody, that fire that was in our hearts to come to church. We couldn't wait for Sunday. We wish there was a service every day. You know, that same fire that was burning in us, you know, that day we gave our hearts to the Lord. I just pray that same fire that was in our heart on that day will be in our hearts today to become disciples of Jesus. So my last word to you is, do you have a strong desire to follow Jesus and follow him? Do you have that desire? If you haven't and you're not sure, just start studying. Come tonight to the course, one of the courses. Okay, bless you. May we pray. Then stand and just pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I do thank you, Lord God. Father, that, Lord, you're so wonderful. Lord, you're so good to us, Lord. Lord, and maybe to some people it seems like it's a struggle to be able to make time to maybe come and do one of these studies, Lord God, or to spend some time at home studying, Lord God, or maybe to attend home group or Tuesday life, Father. But I just pray, Lord, that they will be so encouraged, Lord God, in knowing, Lord God, that as they study, as they learn, Lord, they're going to be able to help others, Lord, teach others, Father, those who don't know your word, Lord God, those who don't know you yet, Father. Lord, I know, Lord God, that each person here is here because they love you, because they have become Christians, and they want to spend that time with you, Lord God. But, Father, I pray that will each of us obey that command to go and make disciples of all nations. Father, we don't have to go very far. It might be our neighbor. It might be one of our families, Father, down the road. But, Lord, that's what you want us to do, to preach your word, to speak your word, Lord, that others may come to know you, that your kingdom may be extended, Lord God. Father, that's... should be our heart desire always, Lord God, to see your kingdom extended, Father, and to see many, many thousands and millions even of people, Lord God, being saved and coming into your kingdom, Lord God. That one day we will be together, Lord God, receiving that reward, Lord, of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.